today. So Om Ganantim and Indasha Ganjana Shlakya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tosmai Shikurvena Maha. So Lachandas Thakur was famous for composing a book called the Chaitanya Mangal. And Chaitanya Mangal, that name Chaitanya Mangal was originally applied to the Chaitanya Bhagwat. And Chaitanya Bhagwat later on took the name Chaitanya Bhagwat because of Lachandas Thakur and also because of Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. And the reason it was called the Chaitanya Bhagwat is that Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami stated that Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is the author of Chaitanya Bhagwat, is the Vyasa, as an incarnation, basically, of Vyasadeva. Because it's an incarnation of Vyasadeva, then it's the Bhagwat, rather than the Chaitanya Mangal. I mean, that was the logic behind the whole thing. So Lachandas Das Thakur, of course, was born as a Vaishnava, and he took initiation from Narahari Sarakar Thakur. And he based his Chaitanya Mangal on a very wonderful book that we don't have a copy of, unfortunately. It was the Kadacha of Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta, of course, is Hanuman. And Rama's pastimes, it appeared as in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Murari Gupta, as he was a physician. And he wrote a, Kadacha means diary, basically. He wrote a diary about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, observing everything when he was very young. So, at least Lachandas Thakur says the book doesn't exist. He says that he memorized all these slokas in there. And now, Lachandas Thakur in his work says that the book no longer exists. I mean, maybe they found a copy recently, I don't know. But, and then he memorized, Lachandas Thakur says he memorized all the slokas there. It was composed in Bengali verse. And he memorized all the slokas and he based his Chaitanya Mangal upon this this book by Murari Gupta, which is known as the Chaitanya Charitamritam. Chaitanya Charitamritam. Then, some of the stories from there are quite interesting. We don't hear these stories anywhere else. And some of the stories are to illustrate the siddhanta behind Lord Chaitanya's appearance. And so sometimes devotees, they tell a particular story to illustrate siddhanta. And the story may or may not be literal. It's very interesting how, because in Vaishnava history, is that the ladies, that's a, they're taking over. So, okay. So in Vaishnava history, we don't have the same sort of concept, or Vedic history, the same sort of concept that we do in Western history, you know, that everything has to be like chronological, you have to memorize the dates. I remember when one of the most frustrating things in history, studying history in university and also in the high school, is that you have memorized all these stupid dates. Like, and of course, many times we had rhymes to memorize the dates, you know, 14, Columbus discovered the ocean blue or sailed the ocean blue in 1492. It's probably the only date I remember. I don't remember any dates about Magellan or Vasco da Gama or any of those other nice people who were actually Balaches. But in the Vedic understanding, it's really not so important the precise dates or historicity in the same way as we have in the West, that the Siddhanta is the important thing. For example, in the Bhagavatam, you have a mixture of different appearances of Lord Varaha in different yugas, basically, or different days of Lord Brahma, or different times. And it's really not that important. It's a mixture of both. The Siddhanta is the important thing. So in the same thing, in explaining Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, the Siddhanta is the important thing. So let's tell a little bit of the stories that Lachandas Thakur tells. Of course, one story is that Narada Muni was looking at all of us in Kali Yuga, and he was saying how we were all Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagyo Padrata, which is described in the Bhagavatam, that we're unfortunate, short-lived, short memories, all these other wonderful qualities that we have in Kali Yuga. And then Narada Muni, seeing that, seeing the coming of Kali Yuga, basically, he went to see Krishna in Dwarka. And when he went to visit Krishna in Dwarka, he said, "What are you going to do about this, Krishna?" And then Krishna basically informed him that he was going to appear as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani. And you have Rukmini, who is just like crying her eyes out because she's going to be missing Krishna. Anyway, so that's one part of the story. Another part of the story that is very, very interesting is about the distribution of Mahaprasadam in Kali Yuga. I'm sure you've heard this story before, is that Narada Muni one time wanted Mahaprasadam. So he began to serve Lord Vishnu, He began to serve Lakshmi for something like 12 years. And after that, Lakshmi says, "What do you want?" And he said, "I want some Mahaprasad." And Lakshmi said, "I've been told by the Supreme Personality of God and Lord Vishnu not to give you any Mahaprasad, not to give anybody any of his remnants. But I've also given you a benediction that whatever you want, you can get. So what am I going to do about this?" So she went in a disturbed state of mind before Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu just basically said that you can give some of my prasad, the Mahaprasad, when I'm not looking, you sneak it away. In other words, he gave her permission to actually steal the Mahaprasad against his orders, which is kind of interesting. And so he gave Narada Muni the Mahaprasad. Narada Muni got the Mahaprasad. He started dancing in ecstasy. And his brother, Lord Shiva, saw the whole thing. He said, "What are you dancing in ecstasy for?" And he revealed to Lord Shiva that he was dancing because he got Mahaprasad. And Lord Shiva said, "Did you save anything for me? I'm your brother." And Narada Muni said, "No." And they looked under Narada Muni's fingernails, and one fingernail was a little bit of Mahaprasad. And when Shiva took it, started dancing, the whole world was being upset. You know, there's going to be a destruction. Tandava and Richa, that means the dance at the time of the destruction. And Parvati comes and stops Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva gets angry with her and says, "You know, why'd you stop? I was experiencing ecstasy." And she said, "Why were you experiencing ecstasy? Why are you dancing like this?" And he said, "I got Mahaprasad." And she said, "Why did you save any for me?" And he said, "You're just a material energy. In other words, you're just Maya," which is true. She got so upset that she began to perform austerities, and they got Lord Vishnu to agree to distribute Mahaprasadam to all the living entities in Kali Yuga, because that's part of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Like Prabhupada said, this is kitchen religion. That was one of Prabhupada's favorite statements. That means by distributing prasad, and there's another statement, or Prabhupada was giving a darshan, he was saying, if someone takes a sweet ball, it's simply wonderful, they'll come to the temple, and then they'll become one of the devotees, and they'll become simply wonderful. One of the devotees said to Prabhupada, you are simply wonderful. So there's this famous story. So these two stories are there at the beginning of the Chaitanya Mangal, and there's stories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. There's a story, a very interesting story of Lord Chaitanya interacting with Murari Gupta when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just a little tiny boy. Lord Chaitanya would sometimes make fun of Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was explaining some medical procedures, and Lord Chaitanya, the little boy, would just like imitate his gait, that means how he walked, and imitate his tone of voice and everything like that. Murari Gupta found it a little humorous, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to him, "Later on, I'll teach you a lesson, Murari Gupta." So later on, he went to Murari Gupta's house and, basically passed urine on his prasadam. Well, Lord Chaitanya's urine is actually purifying. It's not like someone else's urine. Anyway, so there's that story. There's the story of Lord Chaitanya getting married. Of course, Lord Chaitanya got married to Lakshmi Priya, then Vishnu Priya. And ultimately, there's the story of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyasa. It's a heart-wrenching story how he leaves his wife. His wife knows, his mother knows he's going to take sannyasa, and then he gets up in the middle of the night and leaves his wife and family. So I don't have time to tell all the stories, of course, and I'm just going to end with reading the poem written by Lochan Das Thakur. And this poem was actually one of the favorites of Srila Prabhupada. I remember Srila Prabhupada, when he heard this poem, two places he went into trance. One place was in Caracas, Venezuela, and the other place was in Miami, Florida. One after the other, Prabhupada was traveling. Both places there were deities of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. They weren't Radha Krishna deities, and Prabhupada just became so stunned, the devotees didn't know what to do, and later on they started chanting Hare Krishna, and they brought him out of this trance. And this trance was in his meditation on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. I mean, what Prabhupada would say, you know, I remember the first time I met Prabhupada, he said, you know, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have come to this very far away place. And I'm paraphrasing his words, that's one of the exact words. And I was thinking, far away? This is America. This was in Gainesville, Florida. Where we were worshipping Panchatattva picture, not a Panchatattva deities. In the beginning days, the temples were very simple because we just had pictures on the altar. It didn't require elaborate worship and everybody could go out in Sankirtan. And generally that's how the preaching center should be, just very simple. You don't need deities because it requires so much extra work in the preaching center. The temples are something different. So Prabhupada looked at the picture and he said, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, this has come to a very far away place. And I said, far away? I was thinking, this is Florida. You know, this is the heart of creation. America. America, the beautiful, amber waves of rain, purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. Anyway, because of our bodily attachment. Now then we realized the problem was referring to far away in relationship to Sridhar Mayapur. Which Srila Prabhupada said was the place where he worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Vrindavan is his home, and Bombay is his office. So anyway, so Prabhupada, this is one of Prabhupada's favorite poems. And I'll read it, and I'll read Prabhupada's purport to this poem. So Paramakarana Bhodvijana Nitai Gorachanda Sabhavata Shara Shiramani Kivalananda Kanda Baja Baja Bhai Chaitanya Nitai Sudrida Vishwasra Kori Vishayak Chariya Si Rasai Majiya Mukha Bolo Hari Hari Deko Ora Bhai Tribhuvane Nai Emona Doyala Data Pashupaki Jure Pashune Vidure Shri Yar Gurugata Samsare Majiya Rahile Pariya Se Pare Nahilo Ash Apara Karoma Bunjiye Shemana Ko Hoye Tochana Das. And so, I actually have to practice it before, because I make a mess of that right now by saying it, for greeting the deities. I mean, I used to know, but I'm out of practice with this song. So I don't want to do anything that's going to be a mess. You know, I definitely need practice. So this song was actually very dear to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada translates it in purports as follows. This is a song by Lochan Das Thakur. Lochan Das declares that the two lords, Nitai Gora Chandra, Lord Nitai and Lord Chaitanya, are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. That's interesting. Essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that prosecuting their way of self-realization is simply joyful, for they introduced chanting and dancing. There are many incarnations like Lord Ram and even Krishna who taught Bhagavad Gita, which requires knowledge and understanding, but Lord Chaitanya introduced a process which is simply joyful. Simply chant and dance. Reminds me of that story in the Jagat Dharma where the devotees in Mayapur are sitting discussing Krishna Katha, and then a Muslim comes up. You know, the Qazi. or actually, was a, I think he was a descendant of the original Qazi who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reformed. And they have a discussion about Vaishnavism with him. Because he's simply, he's also chanting and dancing. You know, his culture is a little different. Obviously, he dresses a little different, acts a little bit differently like that. And they accept him as their brother. And, of course, there are some atheistic people, some ritualistic Brahmins who get really upset with him, with this cousin coming, and they have a whole discussion later on trying to criticize the Vaishnavas. Interesting story. But that's it, simply chant and dance. That's all Lord Chaitanya is teaching. There's no requirement of changing your culture in terms of your dress or anything like that. That's a Krishna West advertisement. Therefore, Lochan Das requests everyone, my dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction. But what is the process? If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. That's the only restriction. Sounds like... I mean, it's easy for Prabhupada to say that. But for us, it's the only restriction. Of course, there's subtle and gross sense gratification. I mean, the gross one is easier than the subtle one, a profit aversion distinction. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure that he will reach the desired goal. One simply has to chant Hari Hari without any motive of sense gratification. And I was listening to a class probably was talking about one just has to chant. Prabhupada gave another mantra, he said, everyone should chant Jai Satchidananda. Prabhupada was giving this class I was listening to when I was walking yesterday. He said, we want everyone to chant Jai Satchidananda. Because that's what Bhaktivedanta Thakur stated. He said, you know, when will the people from Russia and these countries and everything come to Mayapur and be chanting Jai Satchidananda? So there's many different chants, non-different chants from chanting Hare Krishna, there's Jai Satchinanda, of course there's also the Panchatattva Mahamantra, and these different bona fide chants that we have. So Prabhupada didn't say that we should just chant Nittai Gaur Haribol. I don't remember Prabhupada talking about that, because Nittai Gaur Haribol means just chant the names of Nittai and Gaur. So, just like we have a devotee here who tries to get people to chant Gauranga. That's Jai Satchinanda, the same thing, Gauranga. Like Gauranga Balite Havi Pulaka Shriya. Like Narottamadasa, who are praised. Lochandas says, my dear brother, just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even birds and beasts cry when to speak of human beings. Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jarakanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all the other animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join. Even the animals could join, let us speak of human beings. Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. It is so nice that even stone will melt. But Lochan Das Thakur regrets that he's entrapped by sense gratification. He addresses himself, my dear mind, you are entrapped in the sense gratification process and you have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. Since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. Oh my God. Okay, so that's Lochan Das Thakur. There's no questions. We'll go on to the Bhagavatam here in a few minutes.
And one question is, in the stories of him taking some mess, is that the story Oh, that story of the place where the barber cuts his hair off and then afterwards it says, I'll never cut it.
It's either there or in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, and I forget which one it's in. And then, the barber's name, I think, is Madhu or something like that. And Lord Chaitanya blesses him, because the barber didn't want to cut his hair. And then Lord Chaitanya blesses him, you'll never have to cut anyone's hair again after this. Because Lord Chaitanya's hair was so beautiful. And there's also, anyway, Shivas Thakur's father was there, Chaitanya Das. And he saw that whole thing happening, and when he saw Lord Chaitanya take sannyas, and he heard Lord Chaitanya's name, given by Keshava Bharti, Chaitanya, he just started chanting, Chaitanya, 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 Chaitanya. I mean, he was so much stunned that he couldn't say anything else for days and days. And that was Chaitanya Das, who was Srivas Thakur's father. And then later he and his wife saw it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, and he was told to go back to his village and have a child, and that child was Srinivas Acharya. Alright, any other questions, or should we go on to Bhagavatam? Short time for Bhagavatam. Alright, so Srimad Bhagavatam, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, chapter 13, text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. By some living beings, Bhutani, other living entities, Bhuta Isha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of everything, Srijati, creates, Avati, maintains, Hanti, kills, Cha, also, Atma Srishtahai, who are created by him. Asvatantrahai, not independent. Anapekshaha, not interested in creation. Api, although. Balavat, like a boy. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master and Proprietor of everything, is certainly not interested in the temporary cosmic manifestation. Nonetheless, just as a boy at the beach creates something in which he is not interested, the Lord, keeping everything under his control, causes creation, maintenance, and annihilation. He creates by engaging a father to beget a son. He maintains by engaging a government or a king to see to the public's welfare. And he annihilates through agents for killing, such as snakes. The agents for creation, maintenance, and annihilation have no independent potency, but because of the spell of the illusory energy, one thinks himself the creator, maintainer, and annihilator. I'm just going to go ahead since we have a short time. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. No one can independently create, maintain, or annihilate. Bhagavad Gita in the third chapter, text 27, therefore says, Prakriti kriyamanami gunai karmani sarvachaha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Prakriti, material nature, as directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, induces all living entities to create, maintain, or annihilate according to the modes of nature. But the living entity, without knowledge of the Supreme Person and his agent, the material energy, thinks that he is the doer. In fact, he is not at all the doer. As an agent of the Supreme Doer, the Supreme Lord, one should abide by the Lord's orders. The present chaotic conditions of the world are due to the ignorance of leaders who forget that they have been appointed to act by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they have been appointed by the Lord, their duty is to consult the Lord and act accordingly. The book for consultation is Bhagavad Gita, in which the Supreme Lord gives directions. Therefore, those who are engaged in creation, maintenance, and annihilation should consult the Supreme Person who has appointed them and should act accordingly. Then everyone will be satisfied and there will be no disturbances. So Bhutani Bhutesha. Shijat-jivat-dihan-dijat-atma-shishtar-asvan-tantrar-anapekshyo-pi-valavat. So, Om Agana Tivananda Shaganjana Shrataya Chachur Meditam Genitasmai Shivarena Baham. We only have a few minutes to comment on this, but one thing that strikes me is a verse reminds me of a particular section in the Jiva Dharma where the material energy is being described as a pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the discussion is, what type of pastime is that? People suffer. You know, because pastime, you know, the word for pastime in Sanskrit is lila. You know, lila, enjoyment, you know, voluntary. So what kind of pastime is this that the Lord actually enjoys seeing the living entities or arranges for the living entities to suffer? So why doesn't, the question is raised, and it's quite interesting because I've very rarely heard this question raised before. In the literature, is why doesn't the Lord make the material world a pleasant place? And the answer is, the reason is because of the constitutional nature of the living entity. The constitutional nature of the living entity, of course, is Pramivamsa-jiva-loge-jiva-bhuta-sanatana, that we're part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, you know, it's a typical example that Srila Prabhupada gives oftentimes that with a fish outside of the water, you know, the constitutional nature of the fish is to be in water. I mean, without being in water, Prabhupada, I mean, it's a typical thing. I mean, even devotees do plays about this, you know, fish outside of the water. You can give the fish any sort of amenities that you like, and the fish won't be happy. So in the same way, the soul's constitution is to be with Krishna. And so whatever amenities you give the soul in this world, no matter how many iPods or iPads or computers or networks or Jack, one Christmas he wanted a Switch, you know, how many? There was like 24? 16 port Switch. How many ports you have on your Switch? Or how many sets of clothes like Imelda Marcos? You heard of Imelda Marcos before? How many shoes that you have? I mean, she had, you could fill this whole room with the shoes that she had, up to the ceiling, basically. The soul is not going to be happy, no matter how it tries, because the soul's only happiness is with Krishna. So the material world is a pastime in the sense it's a pastime of the Lord's what we call Odarya. It's interesting, but talking about the pastimes of the Lord, that Lord Krishna's pastimes, Madhurya, are sweet, and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are Odarya, or magnanimous. So this material world is a manifestation of the Lord's magnanimity. That is his kindness to the conditioned souls because it enables them to have a position to rectify their consciousness. And that's why the material world can never be enjoyable by the Lord, not by the living entities. But the Lord enjoys that magnanimity, and also the Lord has specific pastimes, so that in the material world that he doesn't have in the spiritual world. So also the question is raised, so the Lord puts us here so we can have these pastimes like, you know, killing and everything like that that he can't do in the spiritual world. The answer is that we're going to be here anyway. I mean, there are going to be souls here anyway. Even it's described that as soon as all the living entities get liberated, when Vasudeva Dutt was praying for all the living entities get liberated, the material world will be filled again with more living entities. So it's something that's always there. In fact, the material energy is eternal, but it's not manifest all the time. We're talking about the different topics of the Bhagavad Gita. And one of the topics is the material energy. It's eternal. Bhutva, bhutva, paliyate. Sometimes it's manifest, and sometimes it's unmanifest. But it's always there, because there's always a need for it. There's always going to be rascals. And so the material energy is a place just like a prison house. In America, of course, we have more than 1% in any time of the American citizens, or you know, people who live in America, in prison. That's pretty good. I think we have the highest incarceration rate of any country in the world. Isn't that true? The statistics there. And of course, there's also, they come back. It's a revolving door, too. because they don't know how to rectify the criminal mentality. That's another issue. So the same thing with the material world. There's always going to be living entities, and the Lord has his pastimes here, but he enjoys rectifying the conditioned souls. And this rectification sometimes is a little tough love. Just like I was thinking about the Mahabharata, how Krishna arranged for all these living entities to be slaughtered. Millions of living entities to be slaughtered in the battle of Kurukshetra. And Krishna even arranged for Shakuni to come. That's described in the Mahabharata. Shakuni actually means like vulture. It's like Shakuntala, because she was brought up by the vultures. But Shakuni means like vulture. So he's like, he's a vulture. Anyway, Duryodhana to come down. So Krishna just like, it's like a play for him. He just puts, or a chess game. He just puts all these pieces in place, and then it happens. I mean, even Krishna said to Arjuna before the battle of Kurukshetra that all these people could be killed, only you, the Pandavas, are going to be left. And Krishna knew what was going to happen. So, in other words, Krishna was pulling the strings. Of course, he got accused of doing that. By Gandhari after the battle of Kurukshetra. He said, you know, you could have stopped this whole thing. You're the one who's responsible ultimately, and therefore Gandhari cursed him to have the same thing happen to him that happened to her dynasty, which was to have the Yadu dynasty self-destruct. But so in other words, Krishna arranges exactly what this verse is talking about. Like Krishna arranges for a father to beget a son. He creates by engaging a father. He controls, causes creation, maintenance, and annihilation. So, ultimately, as they say, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Lord. As Krishna says in the Gita, I know everything, past, present, and future. And me, no one knows. And so also there's another question. When Krishna says he knows past, present, everything, past, present, and future, there's also the question, does that mean we have free will or we don't have free will? Because, you know, there's predestination, what happens with free will. Well, we do have the free will to choose Krishna or Maya. However, Krishna knows which way we're going to exercise that free will. The two don't contradict each other. Just because Krishna knows how we're going to choose doesn't mean we're not choosing. And, you know, some of the atheists or people argue against free will or argue against God or argue for predestination, whatever. They don't understand this point. The two don't contradict. You can make a choice and Krishna knows how you're going to choose. Anyway, so this material world is a pastime of the Lord, and we have to understand how it is a merciful pastime, although it's very hard for us to understand this. When we look at what's happening, I mean, you read, just like every day except for Ekadasi, I read CNN, I admit it. I read CNN, and I just read it, and I just say, oh my God, I mean, just like yesterday or the day before, two policemen were shot in the head. In New York, someone just came up to the car, and yesterday another policeman was shot, I think it was in Florida. And the people getting kidnapped all over the place with Boko Haram. That's not Hare, Boko Haram. Anyway, and they just read about these things, you get extremely depressed and an anxiety. Like I was speaking the other day, my mother calls me on the phone, she says, don't go anywhere, stay in your house. Because it's getting worse. And I said, no, it's not getting worse. It's just you have more information. Yet she just pours over the New York Times like a Shastra every day. Fortunately, she doesn't know how to go on the internet. But anyway, she'd be in real trouble if she went on the internet. So I said, not getting worse. The material, it's always been like this. You know, you look at people being killed in India, World War II. She said, no, it's worse than it's ever been. But actually, it's a good place because this is what it's meant for. Dukalaya Bashashvantam, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, Kunavar, Tino Arjuna, Mamu Pecha, Dukotri, Apuna, Jamana Vijayate, from the highest plan to the lowest plan. That's where we are. And it's actually nice because it's Krishna's merciful pastime, Audarya. So, any quick questions or comments?
Yeah. The Vedic injunctions. it still would be separate from Krishna, which is bad, but at least it would be more bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're in the mode of goodness, the following Vedic conjunction. The Prabhupada described it as like wet stool, dry stool. You know, the dry stool is not so bad. I was listening to a class where Prabhupada was talking about people getting enamored by the mode of goodness. He said, this is very, very dangerous. You know, where you get attracted to a beautiful weather and sunshine. And like, if you go to Hawaii, you'll see that very few